So, did Russia just destroy a major NATO operations center in Ukraine? 300 people killed, along with dozens of high-ranking NATO officials, Ukrainian officials at the top levels. Was that story kept from you? Was it redacted? You weren't allowed to know about this story. We're going to show you the evidence in a moment, as well as why it's being kept silent from you. It'll all start to make sense. All of these pieces with these leaked Pentagon documents and all of these statements recently from Lloyd Austin and others and European leaders who are flying to China saying, we're not really interested in talking with the United States anymore about this. Can you broker peace, please? All of these pieces seem to be pointing to a similar answer in this. And there's a reason for all of this. But first, some context on this story. So March 2nd, let's rewind the clock a little over a month ago. U.S. and NATO launched a terror attack inside of Russia. I'm not sure if you remember this, using Ukrainian soldiers. Now, remember, I say everything that is carried out in Ukraine is because of NATO and the United States. It's not Ukraine. It's a proxy war. We're directing everything. Everything that happens, we are directing the traffic. They crossed the border into Mother Russia, into the Bryansk region, and they carried out terrorist attacks in a couple of village areas. There's a lot of gunfire. Reports initially were like, wow, there's like 50 Ukrainians. Turns out, no, it wasn't that many. It ended up being a lot less than that. But nevertheless, people were killed. Killing a person, injuring a 10-year-old boy, also firing drones. Drones were dropping incendiary devices on residential homes. So it was a residential attack. It had no military strategic importance whatsoever. The only thing it was designed to do was provoke Russia. Scott Ritter was on the show at the time. He said it was a clear provocation, he told our audience. Clear provocation. These guys were animals. It served no military purpose whatsoever. It was a terrorist attack. Again, against a 10-year-old boy, civilians. That's what this was. The whole goal was to provoke Russia. And then Putin declared it a terrorist attack. Russia declared it a terrorist attack, said game over, we will respond. And then he made it in a devastating way, a devastating response to this attack. A few days later, on March 8th and 9th, Putin responded, launching for the very first time hypersonic missiles, six of them to be exact. These are the Kinzhal missiles, known as the Daggers. President Biden described them as, quote, a consequent weapon that is almost impossible to stop. Ukraine admits they have nothing that can stop these Russian hypersonic missiles. Nothing. In fact, the United States even test launched their own hypersonic missile a month ago and it failed off Hawaii. Disaster. So Scott Ritter was on our show that day to talk about this attack and how devastating these Kinzhal attacks were. Watch.
The Russians are coming in with very innovative tactics designed to force the Ukrainians to activate their radars so that the radars can be identified and destroyed, force the Ukrainians to fire their specific missiles, especially from high-value resources like the IRIS-T or the NASAMS. Now the Patriot system is in Ukraine, allegedly. And then for the Russians then to target these and to denigrate, to degrade, to neutralize the Ukrainian air defense so that they can impose their will on this space. And last night, we saw the Russians begin to impose their will. They struck repeatedly. They struck targets of high value. And they started using, in large numbers, the Kinzhal missile. Before, the Kinzhal was a one-of. They fire one here, one there, because it's a very expensive missile, and the Russians didn't have a lot of them. But the Russians have been producing Kinzhals. They're running triple shifts at the facilities to produce these things. And I think we're seeing these missiles starting to come out in quantities so that the Russians can integrate them. And the important thing about the Kinzhal is no matter what NATO and Ukrainians do, you can't shoot it down. The missile cannot be shot down. So it can be used, for instance, to strike any target at once. And now notice there are 81 launches. Six were Kinzhal. So the Kinzhal is still a small portion of the overall less than 10% of the overall strike force, but the targets it's hit are guaranteed to be destroyed. So it can hit command and control targets. It can hit critical energy infrastructure that might otherwise be protected with air defense resources that would negate a caliber attack or a Shahid 136 attack or an Iskander attack. Well, you can't negate the Kinzhal. It hits, it destroys, that's it. It can also start taking out the high-value air defense systems themselves. If you can identify a German IRIS-T or an American Patriot system or a NASAMS system, take it out with the Kinzhal. Bam, that's worth the expenditure. And I think you're going to see General Surovikin continue to shape this battle, allure the Ukrainians in activating radars to be destroyed, firing systems to be identified, and bringing to bear the hypersonic Kinzhal when needed to eliminate high-value targets. This is the beginning of the air campaign, which is designed to collapse Ukraine as a modern nation state, and in doing so, collapse political support for the Zelensky government.
So what we didn't know at the time was what specific targets were struck. And Russia then, here's the, you know, the payload, you can see it in the graphic here, what this looks like. And then Russia finally admitted to destroying NATO's deep underground command bunker in Kiev a few days after these attacks. They admitted to this. But what was in this command bunker? NATO was quiet about it. The United States has been absolutely silent about this Western bunker near the capital of Ukraine that was totally destroyed. Have you heard about it? Has CNN covered it? Has Fox News covered it? Has any major media outlet covered it? Has the BBC covered it? Where has this story been? Who was killed there? Has Ukraine talked about it? No, but that very day, you can piece the pieces, you can piece the evidence together and see interviews with Zelensky that afternoon where he looks like he was a beaten dog, like he just literally had his stomach punched and was slapped in the head because something big had just happened. And arguably, he was supposed to have been there during that time when this bunker busting bomb unfolded. So what exactly happened? Well, reports started to trickle out to from sources that I trust and independent media sources that one of these six Kinzhal missiles struck a secret bunker in Western Ukraine near the capital. It was devastating. And then again, I said, you know, Zelensky shows up on TV, looks like a beaten down dog because he just lost hundreds of his top leadership members. Hundreds of them. Russia struck a bunker that was 400 feet below ground. 400 feet below ground. And destroyed it. According to reports, 300 people among them, dozens of top NATO officials. Dozens of NATO officials. Not from Ukraine, from NATO, were also there and killed at the time. But oddly, this story has been redacted by the mainstream media. No mention of it, totally ignored. Again, I haven't heard anything about it. I haven't seen it printed. I scoured newspapers all day today, try to find nothing. Nothing. Who was killed there? What NATO members were killed? No mention of it. And they were killed by these Kinzhal missiles after that terrorist attack was launched in Bryansk. So why are we not getting the answers on this? They can't respond. They can't respond to this. The reason they can't respond to this, I mean, you guys can answer this in the chat below if you'd like and give your thoughts on this. The reason they can't respond, in my theory, is because to respond in any kind of meaningful, forceful way is an elevation to World War III, a nuclear response. You cannot stop these missiles. So what response do you have other than to leave, looking for a way out of this war? They are done. This is all signs pointing to NATO is finished as an organization. As Douglas McGregor has said on our show before, this is the beginning of the death spiral now for NATO. Independent journalists.
Well, and also
go ahead.
I was just going to say it then prompts an actual response from the United States. It's like right now, they just want to send money over there. The goal is not to take on Russia. The goal is to do whatever with this digital stuff they're doing in Ukraine. It's a money laundering thing. They don't actually want to go to war with Russia. But if they say that Russia just destroyed something in Ukraine and killed a bunch of people, well, that's going to get even the people thinking, well, then maybe we should attack Russia.
Yeah.
And it's not actually what they want.
Right, exactly. I mean, I know it's hard to believe maybe at this point, but there's still a lot of people who are brainwashed into thinking that we just need to throw whatever we have and go after Russia, right? There are plenty of people that watch CNN and MSNBC and are totally brainwashed out there. The fact that we do this show and we have an audience of anti-war people who watch this show who understand that this is absolute insanity, what is taking place right there. There's millions still who are just brainwashed and flip on the news and like, yeah, Putin bad, we should go to war with them. Let's launch a nuclear strike. To know that Vladimir Putin literally just took out some of the top commanders in NATO and other top, almost the entire top brass inside of Ukraine in this attack, they're going to go after them, launch whatever you've got. And U.S. members of Congress, who of course, even before this, wanted to launch nuclear strikes against Putin, would be emboldened to want to do this too. So you're absolutely right about that. I think that's exactly the reason why this has been totally kept out of the New York Times. Why has the New York Times not mentioned a word of this? They're being told not to. It's the only reason. They're being told not to talk about it, not to publicize this, not to tell you about what just happened. Independent journalist, military analyst Gilbert Doctorow was on television yesterday explaining about this, and it was amazing. And he was explaining why you don't read this in the New York Times. It's being suppressed from you. Watch as they try to get some answers from him on this television interview, and then as he starts to talk about it, watch as they sort of rush him off the air, like, "Sorry, we're out of time. We got to go. We can't listen anymore to that. We're out of time. We're out of time. You're telling the truth here. We got to go. We got to go. We got to go." Watch this amazing moment.
Business news are going to be kept quiet.
I'm sorry. I was trying to Google what you said was the news, which I didn't hear about. What is that news before I let you go?
After the Ukrainians staged a sabotage mission in Bryansk Oblast, part of the Russian Federation, in which several people were killed, the Russians staged a revenge attack with using, for the first time, six of their hypersonic missiles, which are called Kinjal. One of those struck near Lvov, or Lviv, that is the western capital of Ukraine. And this conventionally armed missile, because of the laws of physics, that is taking mass and velocity, give you enormous impact which enabled that rocket to descend and destroy a deeply built concrete bunker where 300 top Western and Ukrainian officers have been managing the communications on behalf of NATO in Ukraine. The Russians again yesterday announced very discreetly that 200 of those people killed were generals and high NATO officers. Did you read about that in the New York Times? No, you didn't.
All right, very well.
If it were in the New York Times, it would lead to enormous uproar in the States and would take us towards escalation of nuclear exchange.
Sure.
The Americans don't want that. The Russians don't want that.
Thank you very much for that. We're going to definitely follow through with that. Gilbert Doctorow, independent international affairs analyst. Don DeBar, thank you, activist and commentator from Austin, New York. With that, we come to an end for this edition of the News Review. Thanks for tuning in.
Bye, everyone. And good for him.
And I have another question.
Good for them for having him on, by the way. You know, but go ahead.
I was going to say, is it also common practice for NATO officers to be in a non-NATO, in a war zone of a non-NATO country? Like, is that common? Because
No.
It's like, if they're not NATO, then they shouldn't be there.
No, exactly. No, and you had the Washington Post admitting over the past 48 hours or so that this is a proxy war. I mean, the Washington Post now admitting, after they release these documents, the document leaks and out the guy, they now admit that this is a proxy war. Like, this is the first time. We're getting full admission now of the charade. Like, the jig is up. Jimmy in our chat says, Jimmy Butler says, funny and strange that you would say that you looked for some information on an attack, but nowhere you found anything about it, then you tell us about it. No, I have sources on this. What I was saying is looking in the mainstream media to find any coverage of this where any of that, you can't find it. You won't find it. That's my point. And what Gilbert just pointed out, read about that in the New York Times, you will not find it in the mainstream media. You have to find alternative media sources and, of course, independent journalists who cover these stories and have access to information that is not suppressed by the corporate media. That's the point. So here you go. Will we hear more about this? Probably not. But we are starting to see the pieces in place, these Pentagon documents pointing to Ukraine as a total lost cause, a desolate wasteland which will collapse, which it is right now. NATO is looking for an exit strategy. You see Emmanuel Macron today, once again, pointing out, looking for a peace agreement, need a peace agreement, and we cannot look to the United States for this, pushing on China to do this. There is groundswell support right now for this to end. Perhaps even more than any of that are the bankers that want their money to be deployed into reconstruction and efforts. So they want to make the money now in these efforts, and they will, and they don't care really who, you know, when this, they want those people like cleaned out of there so we can start to funnel money into any of these this infrastructure projects. So that's where this is going to start to move. And of course, all focus will then shift fully to China. That is an amazing piece of this story that I wanted to bring to you tonight that you're just not going to hear about in the mainstream media or frankly, anywhere else. Thank you so much for watching this segment here at Redacted. We are live every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time, trying to share the stories that the mainstream media will not cover. You should also come over and join our community of Redacted Rebels over at redacted.inc. That's our private locals community where we can share exclusive content that we simply cannot share here on YouTube. Come over and join the rebellion together right now by going to redacted.inc. We'll see you next time.